You're known as a poet, musician, playwright, and author. You were named the United States Poet Laureate in 2019, making you the first Native American Poet Laureate in the history of that position. So what does that mean, and what are the responsibilities that go with that? And let me just add, too, you were reappointed to another one-year term in this year, 2020.
Yes, well, it was certainly a surprise. The position is, well, it's an incredible honor. You know, it's really an incredible honor. I feel like I'm holding it, especially on behalf of Native poets and the history of, you know, it's like, how would I say it? By naming me into the position, I think it honors Natives. I mean, the position is a doorway for Indigenous peoples in this country. For me, one thing that's been really important about it is it makes a doorway for Native people.
Yes.
And highlights Native poets in this country. So in the position, the way I see it is I'm basically an ambassador of poetry, which is what I've been doing for years. I mean, I've been traveling about performing and speaking and writing for years, over 40 years, probably about 45. I was trying to figure it out the other day. For about 45 years, I've been traveling about. I've probably been to nearly every Native community in the country and Native communities around the world. And then I've been in every state performing, and this has been going on for a long time. So in a way, I'm doing what I've always done, but it's certainly at a much more elevated level to have that title to go with it.
Right.
I'm using it as an opportunity, of course, to highlight Native poets. So my project, which will be unveiled, that word doesn't quite work, in a couple of weeks, is a story map that will be at the Library of Congress site that will highlight contemporary Native American poets. I was in a meeting the hour before this interview with that staff, and it looks incredible. We have 47 contemporary Native poets highlighted on a map of North America. It's so beautifully done. You can hear the poets, read the poems. They have statements about place. So that's been a project. It was also picked up by Norton, and the poems will appear in an anthology in May, published by Norton. So we've been working away on that. I think I have about 3 or 4 more pieces to do. I'm going to finish them in the next couple of days, and then most of my work on that project will be done. Well, that part of it, because then there's going to be teachers' resources, and I'll be part of working with communities in some way for that project.
You are a fan of oral history, and so am I. That's what my series is on our oral history website. You use Native American oral history in your literature readings, musical performances. Explain your thoughts and why you are a fan of oral history.
If you think about how history is imparted to us in a society, a lot of it has been through books, you know, and who writes books and who publishes them. It brings up another whole question of who has authority and who's telling the story. But if you go to the people, and people may not agree, you know, you can have several people or even 2, 3, 4 people at an event, and they all might see something different. They might tell the story differently, but they're all viable, you know, living stories. I guess an example would be my Aunt Lois Harjo's. There's a history of Muscogee Creek people, and I can read about my grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather. I think I'm the 6th generation. My Aunt Lois would have been the 4th generation. So she knew stories that weren't in any, you know, she knew stories about the Trail of Tears. She knew stories about Monopoly, about the family, that really gave a lot more color and meaning to the stories than what you could read and what little you could find in books. And a lot of it is wrong. I mean, I found out that there's a lot, it's irritating. I've gone on that ancestry.com, and somebody went on there and changed the spelling. Suddenly I could not find Manahwa. Some people say Manahwi, some say Manahwa. But suddenly my Manahwa relatives all disappeared. And then I discovered that somebody from Alabama who doesn't know anything about the family or the history went through and misspelled everything.
Oh.
It's like they kind of erased the story. And then if you go into different sites or textbooks, they'll say that he died in Alabama or that he died on the trail. Well, that's just not so. I have a map. There's oral histories that have been recorded in a book of what is the man's name? It's about all these different immigration trails. With my book of poetry, American Sunrise, I included a map that shows the trail that he was on with the Fish Pond Miko, or the head of the Fish Pond grounds, and their families, where they started in Talladega, Alabama, and then they wound up, a lot of them was let off at Fort Gibson, at the fort there. I also know where he's buried. It's not marked. A lot of people don't know where that grave is, but I've been there, and it's not marked as a plaque at all, but with seven cedar trees. Mm-hmm. But see, you won't find that. I thought, well, maybe we should put something there, but in a way, I think you kind of wanted it that way.